From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
That's just what he is. He's
We're not recording right now, right?
We are. Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. We are going pound for pound with Shakespeare, one act at a time, like Gotti and Ward. Go on YouTube and look up Gotti v. Ward fights. You'll see what I mean. Thank you for joining us for the fifth act, The Tragedy of King Lear. We invite you to go to bardbrawl.com and get in on the first four acts. Trust me, you'll thank me later. Like my dad said when he was giving me spankings when I was a kid, you'll thank me later.
And,
inappropriate.
Actually.
And how did he like his thank you card?
I grew up into the co-captain of the Bard Brawl. My other co-captain is Eric Jean.
Hey.
I'm sure you got the rod. Or a paddle of some kind?
I got hit with the wooden spoon.
Yes!
Only because I tried to steal the cookie dough.
I deserve of my paddlings, I'm sure.
Well,
I was not the greatest troublesome
Having
kid.
Being raised by a single mother, it didn't really happen.
I see.
You were a cookie dough thief.
I was a cookie dough thief.
Those of you wanting to check out what happened in King Lear, the first four acts, one, you should already know because I mean, come on, it's King Lear. But go to barbell.com and read Eric's summaries of the first four acts and little tidbits where he talks about various things about King Lear. Or listen to our discussion of King Lear and some of the themes. And leave a comment. As always, we ask you. We like you. We want to talk to you. We want to e-know you.
Let us know what speeches you want us to cover in the speeches podcast.
Oh,
because
speeches podcast.
It's going to be
upcoming.
Tough to pick.
There are many.
So many.
Give us a speech. And what I would love, give me a speech that inspired you in some way or really touched you and tell us why and we'll read it.
Or gave you nightmares for months.
Or gave you nightmares.
Or you just like really liked for fun.
That's Zoe Baldwin jumping in.
Okay.
And joining us for the fifth time. Same five brawlers all five times. Stephanie E.M. Coleman's also here. Jay Reed's also here. Thank you all for joining us. While you're at bardbrawl.com, I should mention, feel free, there is a donate button on the upper right-hand corner of the page. Go there. Give us a bit. You know, the other day...
Buy us a latte.
Yeah, a latte. I don't buy lattes anymore.
No.
We have big plans for the Bard Brawl. If you donate, listener, you can help us do that. And they're not plans just for us. They're for everybody to enjoy the Shakespeare Bardy Bard Bard. King Lear, can I try and summarize it in like 20 seconds? Glass has no eyes, King Lear's mad, the fool is dead, so is Oswald, Edmund is a bastard, and also a bastard, and...
Wait, he's a bastard, yeah.
And a bastard. Okay. Also kind of a bastard.
Yeah.
Cornwall's dead. One of your characters, one of my characters is dead. Regan and Goneril both want to sleep with Edmund? Or both want to marry him?
Edmund made deals with both of them. And Goneril's hoping Almany's going to get killed in the fighting because he's a wuss. Or that's what she thinks he is.
Nice.
And Edmund already took care of Cornwall.
What did she call him? A milk-livered man,
I think.
Can you tell me a little bit about Shakespeare's description of marriage? Because I just read a part in this book about marriage and I was thinking, geez, he doesn't really like his wife, maybe.
His wife, maybe.
Wow.
Shakespeare doesn't like his wife. This is a theme of the book that
maybe his wife was maybe okay, is what I'm saying.
I don't want to.
I like that.
I don't like to that sort of biographical angle on it, but I can say that most of his marriages in the plays aren't really good. There's a few good ones. It's kind of weird because when we did Taming of the Shrew, the Petruchio Kate is, in a weird way, maybe one of the best, most successful couplings. The Beatrice and Benedict and Mr. Yeah. Matt, nothing's good too. But there's most of these weddings are not, they don't work. And he likes the drama. He likes to write the drama.
Yeah, that's a fun way to like poke fun at the whole thing. Yeah. It's a good comedy.
Well, and it's good to remember what I was reminded when I was reading this book, Will Becoming Will, what's it called again? You gave it to me for Christmas. Thank you. It's talking about how he was married to an older woman 6 months after he got her pregnant, quite young, and then he abandoned her, and so the theories go crazy, and everybody likes to talk about that.
Well, maybe some truth to that, but...
It's interesting. The marriages in this play are not good. One, Lear doesn't have a wife. Gloucester doesn't have a wife. Regan and Goneril are both married to douches, although Albany's a little, as you said, less douchey.
But he's going to have a sort of redeeming...
Kind of redeemed himself last time. Like, yeah, he felt bad for Gloucester. He starts
realizing that these women are going a little too far with this thing.
So, we are entering Act 5, where everything's about to get funky!
That... isn't what's about to happen.
Are you ready, Jay Reed?
That is completely inaccurate.
That's pretty inaccurate. Sorry. Okay, I'll just read the stage directions for this one. I'll just read the stage directions for this scene and think about what I said.
Yeah, just sit in the corner.
Yes. You'll thank me later.
Nobody puts Daniel in the corner.
Act 5, Scene 1. We have Edmund, Jay Reed, Regan. Stephanie, are you Regan?
Yep.
You are Regan. Gentlemen, I'll jump on that, I guess, because I don't think I'm in this. Albany is Zoe.
Hey.
Goneril is Eric Jean. Soldiers are me. I'll do different voices.
Mm.
But you won't know, listener, because they will be so cleverly masked. Edgar, which is also Zoe Baldwin. And...
Edmund.
I already said Edmund. It's near twice. What's that all about?
Because he's that important.
That important. Lots of characters, lots of fun. Enter with drums. Colors, which we discussed last. Oh, we do have a sound for colors.
Good job.
Yeah, it was like rehearsed.
Yeah.
Edmund, Regan, gentlemen, and soldiers.
Know the Duke if his last purpose hold, or whether since he is advised by aught to change the course, he's full of alteration and self reproving. Bring his constant pleasure.
To second gentleman who goes out.
Our sister's man is certainly miscarried.
'Tis to be doubted, madam.
Now, sweet lord, you know the goodness I intend upon you. Tell me, but truly, but then speak the truth. Do you not love my sister?
In honored love.
But have you never found my brother's way to the forfended place?
That thought abuses you.
I am doubtful that you have been conjunct and bosomed with her, as far as we call hers.
No, by mine honor, madam.
I never shall endure her. Dear my lord, be not familiar with her.
Fear me not, she and the duke her husband.
Enter with drums. And colors. Albany, Goneril, soldiers. Goneril aside.
I'd rather lose the battle than that sister should loosen him and me.
Our very loving sister, well be met. Sir, this I hear, the king is come to his daughter, with others whom the rigor of our state forced to cry out. Where I could not be honest, I never yet was valiant. For this business, it touches us as France invades our land, not bolds the king, with others whom I fear most just and heavy causes make oppose.
Sir, you speak nobly.
Why is this reasoned?
Combine together against the enemy. These domestic and particular broils are not the question here.
Let's then determine with the Ancient of War on a proceeding.
I shall attend you presently at your tent.
Sister, you'll go with us?
No.
'Tis most convenient. Pray, go with us.
Aside.
Oh, I know the riddle. I will go.
Exit both the armies. As they are going out, enter Edgar disguised. Albany remains.
If e'er your grace had speech with men so poor, hear me one word, I'll overtake you. Before you fight the battle, ope this letter. If you have victory, let the trumpet sound for him that brought it. Wretched though I seem, I can produce a champion that will prove what is avouched there. If you miscarry, your business of the world hath so an end, and machination ceases. Fortune love you. Stay till I have read the letter. I was forbidden. When time shall serve, let but the herald cry, and I'll appear again. Why, fare thee well, I'll overlook thy paper.
Very good. Garrick, that was two.
Yes.
Well, everybody knows.
Edgar.
Well done. Albany. Edgar and Albany. Exit Edgar. Exit Edgar. I combine Edgar and Albany into Alger.
Alger.
Nice.
Algerny.
Sorry.
Enter Edmund.
The enemy's in view. Draw upon your powers. Here is the guess of their true strength and forces by diligent discovery, but your haste is now urged on you.
We will greet the time.
Exit.
To both these sisters have I sworn my love, each jealous of the other, as the stung are of the adder. Which of them shall I take? Both, one, or neither? Neither can be enjoyed if both remain alive. To take the widow exasperates, makes mad her sister Goneril. And hardly shall I carry out my side, her husband being alive. Now, then, we'll use his countenance for the battle, which being done, let her who would be rid of him devise his speedy taking off. As for the mercy which he intends to Lear and to Cordelia, the battle done, and they within our power shall never see his pardon, for my state stands on me to defend, not to debate.
Exit. Oof. Edmund, dirty
what a
Edmund.
Jerk.
That's true. The battlefield between the two camps. Powers of France, Cordelia, Lear, Edgar, Gloucester. Stephanie, you will need to do the stage directions for this one.
Okay. Enter Edgar and Gloucester.
Swish.
Here, Father, take the shadow of this tree for your good host. Pray that the night may thrive. If ever I return to you again, I'll bring you comfort.
Grace go with you, sir.
Edgar goes. Alarm heard from the battlefield hard by, and later a retreat. Enter Edgar.
Away, old man, give me thy hand, away. King Lear hath lost he and his daughter Taen. Give me thy hand, come on.
No further, sir, a man may not rot even here.
What? In ill thoughts again? Men must endure their going hence, even as they're coming hither. Ripeness is all. Come on.
And that's true, too.
They go.
Eeyore.
Yeah, Gloucester.
Except he's got reasons to be upset.
Yeah, a few reasons. Just a couple, at least.
Balda.
All right, and we come to the final scene. The British camp near Dover. Edmund, Lear, Cordelia, soldiers, captains, Albany... Goneril, Regan, everyone's still alive? What is this, a Shakespeare play?
Not
Regan.
For long.
Oh, sad. Enter in conquest with drums and colors. Edmund, Lear, and Cordelia as prisoners, soldiers, captains.
Some officers take them away, good guard, until their greater pleasures first be known, that are to censure them.
We are not the first who, with best meaning, have incurred the worst. For thee, oppressed king, I am cast down. Myself could else outfrown false fortune's frown. Shall we not see these daughters and these sisters?
No, 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 no. Come, let's away to prison. We two alone will sing like birds in the cage. When thou dost ask me blessing, I'll kneel down and ask of thee forgiveness. So we'll live and pray and sing and tell old tales and laugh as gilded butterflies and hear poor rogues talk of court news, and we'll talk with them too, who loses and who wins, who's in, who's out, and take upon the mystery of things as if we were God's spies, and we'll wear out in a walled prison packs and sects of great ones that ebb and flow by the moon.
Take them away.
Upon such sacrifices, my Cordelia, the gods themselves throw incense. Have I caught thee? He that parts us shall bring a brand from heaven, and fire us hence like foxes. Wipe thine eyes. The good years shall devour them, flesh and fell, ere they shall make us weep. We'll see him starve first. Come.
Come hither, Captain Hark. Take thou this note.
Giving a paper.
Go follow them to the prison. One step I have advanced thee, if thou dost as this instructs thee, thou dost make thy way to noble fortunes. Know thou this, that men are as the time is. To be tender-minded does not become a sword. thy great employment will not bear question. Either say thou'll do it, or thrive by other means.
I'll do it, my lord.
About it, and right happy when thou hast done. Mark, I say, instantly, and carry it so, as I have set it down.
I cannot draw a cart, nor eat dried oats. If it be man's work, I'll do it.
Exit first, captain. Flourish! Enter Albany. Goneril, Regan, and another captain soldiers.
Sir, you have showed today your valiant strain, and fortune led you well. You have the captives, who were the opposites of this day's strife. I do require them of you, so to use them as we shall find their merits and our safety may equally determine.
Sir, I thought it fit to send the old and miserable king to some retention and appointed guard, whose age has charms in it, whose title more to pluck the common bosom on his side, and turn our impressed lances in our eyes, which do command them. With him I sent the queen, my reason all the same, and they are ready, tomorrow, or at further space to appear, where you shall hold your session. At this time we sweat and bleed, the friend hath lost his friend, and the best quarrels in the heat are cursed by those that feel their sharpness. The question of Cordelia and her father requires a fitter place.
Sir, by your patience, I hold you but a subject of this war, not as a brother.
That's as we list to grace him. Methinks our pleasure might have been demanded ere you had spoke so far. He led our powers, bore the commission of my place and person, the which immediacy may well stand up and call itself your brother.
Not so hot. In his own grace he doth exalt himself more than in your addition.
In my rights be me by me invested, he compeers the best.
That were the most if he should husband you.
Jesters do oft prove prophets.
Holla, the eyes that told you so looked but a squint.
Holla. Lady, I am not well, else I should answer from a full-flowing stomach. General, take thou my soldiers, prisoners, patrimony, dispose of them, of me. The walls are thine. Witness the world that I create thee here, my lord and master.
Mean you to enjoy him?
The let alone lies not in your good will.
Nor in thine, lord.
Half-blooded fellow, yes.
To Edmund.
Let the drum strike and prove my title thine.
Stay yet, hear reason. Edmund, I arrest thee on capital treason and in thine attaint... This gilded serpent...
Pointing to Goneril.
For your claim, fair sister, I bar in it the interest of my wife. To she is subcontracted to this lord, and I, her husband, contradict your banes. If you will marry, make your loves to me. My lady is bespoke.
An interlude.
Like a suit.
Thou art armed, Gloucester. Let the trumpet sound. If none appear to prove upon thy person thy heinous manifest and many treasons, there is my pledge.
Throwing down a glove!
I make it on thy heart ere I taste bread. Thou art in nothing less than I have here proclaimed thee.
Sick, oh sick.
Aside.
If not, I'll never trust medicine.
There's my exchange.
Throwing down a glove.
What in the world he is that names me traitor? Villain like he lies, call by thy trumpet, he that dares approach, on him, on you, who not? I will maintain my truth and honor firmly.
A herald, ho!
A herald, ho, a herald!
Trust to thy single virtue, for thy soldiers, all levied in my name, have in my name took their discharge.
My sickness grows upon me.
She is not well. Convey her to my tent.
Exit Regan led. Enter Harold.
Come hither, Harold. Let the trumpet sound and read out this.
Sound a trumpet!
The trumpet sounds. Reads.
If any man of quality or degree within the list of army will maintain upon Edmund, supposed Earl of Gloucester, that he is a manifold traitor, let him appear by the third sound of the trumpet. He is bold in his defense.
Sound!
First trumpet.
Again!
Second trumpet.
Again!
Third trumpet. Trumpets answer within. That's not a trumpet. Enter Edgar at the third sound, armed, a trumpet before him.
Ask him his purposes, why he appears upon this call of the trumpet.
What are you? Your name, your quality, and why your answer this present summons.
No, my name is lost by treason's tooth, bare non and canker bit. Yet I am I noble as the adversary I come to cope.
As Albany?
What is that adversary?
As Edgar?
What's he that speaks for Edmund, Earl of Gloucester?
Himself, what sayest thou to him?
Draw thy sword, that, if my speech offend a noble heart, thy arm may do thee justice. Here is mine. Behold, it is the privilege of mine honors, my oath, and my profession. I protest, maugre thy strength, place, youth, and eminence, despite thy victor sword and fire new fortune, thy valor and thy heart, thou art a traitor, false to thy gods, thy brother, and thy father, conspirant against the high illustrious prince, and from the extremest upward of thy head to the descent, and dust beneath thy foot, a most toad-spotted traitor. Say thou no? This sword, this arm, and my best spirits are bent to prove upon thy heart whereto I speak, thou liest.
In wisdom I should ask thy name, but since thy outside looks so fair and warlike, and that thy tongue some say a breeding breeze, what safe and nicely I might well delay, by rule of knighthood I disdain and spurn. Back do I toss these treasons to thy head, with the hell-hated lie overwhelm thy heart, which, for they yet glance by and scarcely bruise, this sword of mine shall give them instant way, where they shall rest forever. Trumpets, speak!
Alarms. They fight.
Ding, ding, ding,
Edmund
ding.
Falls.
Save him! Save him!
This is practice, Gloucester. By the law of war, thou wast not bound to answer an unknown opposite. Thou wert not vanquished, but cozened and beguiled.
Shut your mouth, dame, or with this paper shall I stop it. Hold, sir. Thou worse than any name, read thine own evil. No tearing, lady, I perceive you know it.
Say if I do. The laws are mine, not thine. Who can arraign for me?
Most monstrous. Oh, knowest thou this paper?
Ask me not what I know.
Exit.
Go after her. She's desperate. Govern her.
What have you charged me with that I have done? And more, much more, this time will bring out. 'Tis past, and so am I. But what art thou that hast this fortune on me? If thou art noble, I do forgive thee.
Let's exchange charity. I am no less in blood than thou art, Edmund. If more, the more thou hast wronged me. My name is Edgar, and thy father's son. The gods are just, and of our pleasant vices make instruments to plague us. The dark and vicious place where thee he got cost him his eyes.
Thou hast spoken right, 'tis true. The wheel has come full circle. I am here.
Stephanie, you want to read Albany right here?
Sure. Methought thy very gait did prophesy of royal nobleness. I must embrace thee. Let sorrow split my heart if ever I did hate thee or thy father.
Worthy prince, I know it.
Where have you hid yourself? How have you known the miseries of your father?
By nursing them, my lord. List a brief tale, and when 'tis told, oh, that my heart would burst. The bloody proclamation to escape that followed me so near. Oh, our life's sweetness, that we the pain of death would hourly die rather than die at once, taught me to shift into a madman's rags, to assume a semblance that very dogs disdained, and in this habit met I my father with his bleeding rings, their precious stones new lost, became his guide, led him, begged for him, saved him from despair, never, oh, fault, revealed myself unto him until some half hour passed, when I was armed. Not sure, though hoping of his good success, I asked his blessing, and from first to last told him my pilgrimage. But his flawed heart, alack, too weak the conflict to support, twixt two extremes of passion, joy and grief, burst smilingly.
I'm dead.
This speech of yours hath moved me, and shall perchance do good. But speak you on, you look as you had something more to say.
If there be more, more woeful. Hold it in, for I am almost ready to dissolve hearing of this.
This would have seemed a period to such as love not sorrow, but another, to amplify too much, would make much more and top extremity. Whilst I was big in clamour, came there a man who, having seen me in my worst estate, shunned my abhorred society, but then, finding who 'twas that so endured, with his strong arms he fastened on my neck, and bellowed out as he burst heaven, threw him on my father, told the most piteous tale of Lear and him that ever ear received, which in recounting his grief grew puissant, and the strings of life began to crack. Twice then the trumpet sounded, and there I left him tranced.
But who was this?
Kent, sir, the banished Kent, who in disguise followed his enemy king and did him service improper for a slave.
Enter second gentleman with the bloody knife.
Help! Help! Oh, help!
What kind of help?
Speak, man.
What means this bloody knife?
'Tis hot, it smokes, it came even from the heart of... Oh, she's dead!
Who dead? Speak, man.
Your lady, sir, your lady and her sister, by her is poisoned. She confessed it.
I was contracted to them both, all three now marry in an instant.
Here comes Kent.
Enter Kent.
Should I be Kent or Albany here?
How about I take over Albany?
Sure.
Sure.
Produce the bodies, be they alive or dead.
Exit second gentleman.
This judgment of the heaven that makes us tremble touches us not with pity. Oh, is this he? The time will not allow the compliment which very manners urges.
I am come to bid my king and master aye good night. Is he not here?
Great thing of us forgot. Speak, Edmund. Where's the king and where's Cordelia?
Goneril and Regan's bodies brought out.
Oh, seest thou this object, Kent?
Alack, why thus?
Yet Edmund was beloved, the one the other poisoned for my sake, and after slew herself.
They really loved me.
Even so, to cover their faces.
I pant for life. Some good I mean to do, despite of mine own nature.
Bullshit.
Quickly send be brief in it to the castle, for my writ is on the life of Lear and on Cordelia. Nay, send in time.
Run, 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 oh run!
To who, my lord? Who has the office? Send thy token of reprieve.
Well thought on. Take my sword, give it to the captain.
Haste thee for thy life.
Exit Edgar. He hath commission from thy wife and me to hang Cordelia in the prison, and to lay the blame upon her own despair, that she fordid herself.
Total CSI. The gods defend her. Bear him hence a while.
Edmund is borne off. Enter Lear with Cordelia in his arms. Edgar and second gentleman following.
Howl! 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 Oh, you are men of stones! Had I your tongues and eyes, I'd use them so that heaven's vault should crack. She is gone forever! I know when one is dead and when one lives. She's death as earth. Lend me a looking glass. If that her breath will mist or stain the stone, why, then she lives!
Is this the promised end?
Or image of that horror?
Fall and cease.
This feather stirs. She lives! If it be so, it is a chance which does redeem all sorrows that ever I've felt.
Oh, my good master!
Prithee away!
'Tis noble Kent, your friend.
A plague upon you, murderers, traitors, all! I might have saved her. Now she's gone forever. Cordelia, Cordelia, stay a little. Ha! Huh? What is it thou sayest? Her voice was ever soft, gentle and low, an excellent thing in women. I killed the slave that was a-hanging thee.
'Tis true, my lords, he did.
Did I not, fellow? I have seen the day with my good biting falchion. I would have made them skip. I am old now, and these same crosses spoil me. Who are you? Mine eyes are not, oh, the best. I'll tell you straight.
If fortune brag of two she loved and hated, one of them we behold.
This is a dull sight. Are you not Kent?
The same, your servant Kent. Where is your servant Caius?
He's a good fellow. I can tell you that. He'll strike, and quickly, too. He's dead and rotten.
Oh, my good lord. I am the very man.
I'll see that straight.
That from your first of difference and decay have followed your sad steps.
You are welcome hither.
Nor no man else. All's cheerless, dark, and deadly. Your eldest daughters have foredone themselves, and desperately are dead.
Aye, so I think.
He knows not where he knows not what he says, and vain it is that we present us to him.
Very bootless.
Enter a second messenger.
Edmund is dead, my lord!
How do you even get to die on stage?
Yeah, nobody did.
A lot of people, they just die off in the wings.
He's dead.
But it's okay, you killed Cornwall off in the wings, so...
Yeah.
Both your characters died off stage, yeah.
Actually, yeah, you killed yourself. Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's but a trifle here. You lords and noble friends know our intent. What comfort to this great decay may come shall be applied. For us, we will resign during the life of this old majesty to him our absolute power.
To Edgar and Kent.
You, to your rights with boot and such addition as your honors have more than merited. All friends shall taste the wages of their virtue and all foes the cup of their deservings. Oh, see, see.
And my poor fool is hanged. No, no, no life. Why should a dog, a horse, a rat have life, and thou no breath at all? Thou'lt come no more, never, 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 never. Pray you undo this button. Thank you, sir. You see this? Look on her. Look her lips. Look there. Look. Look there.
He dies.
He faints. My lord. My lord.
Break heart, I prithee break. Look up, my lord. Vex not his ghost. Oh, let him pass. He hates him. That would upon the rack of this tough world stretch him out longer.
He is gone indeed.
The wonder is he hath endured so long. He but usurped his life.
Bear them from hence. Our present business is general woe.
To Kent and Edgar.
Friends of my soul, you twain rule in this realm. The gourd state sustain.
I have a journey, sir, shortly to go. My master calls me. I must not say no.
The weight of this sad time we must obey. Speak what we feel, not what we ought to say. The oldest hath borne most. We that are young shall never see so much, nor live so long.
Zint with a dead march. Well, that was depressing. Yeah.
Everyone die!
It is a tragedy.
Two of my three characters survived.
That is why it was quickly rewritten with a different ending, and for 250 years of its stage history, Cordelia survives and marries Edgar.
Wait. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the pretty ending.
Yeah, it was rewritten in the...
I wouldn't believe it, though.
I don't know, about like 80 years after Shakespeare wrote it, by Noam Tate. I think is the guy's name, and he rewrote it.
I'll fix this. Too dark. This was... I'm a little concerned about what he was going through at this time, and he wrote this. And Guardian just put an article that said, proved that there's a refute of all of the conspiracy theorists that say that he didn't write anything, and they're actually going to prove that he wrote everything. Shakespeare you was mean, a person.
They're going to prove something that doesn't need to be proven.
Yeah, exactly. And my poor fool is hanged. Some say that that's Cordelia.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, often the word fool could often used to be referred to affectionately to like a young woman or daughter. So, and we also know that Edmund, like the they were going to hang her and make it look like a suicide. So it's probably how she died, which is why people believe that. But you can also, a lot of people also believe that this is actually referring to his actual fool, and conveniently the actor who plays the fool would have been the same actor who played Cordelia, and so kind of fits together.
Or one magically becomes the other. Woo! Which is my theory.
It's very method.
So much method stuff.
Lot of suicide in the Renaissance. Was suicide big? This
good.
Doesn't seem like seems like a strange amount of people killing themselves.
Well, it's not a Christian world, right? That's the sort of advantage that the King Lear play has, is that Shakespeare
Stars.
Can explore these things because you don't have to operate under this, well, God said it was bad. You need to justify it. You need to explain it. So you need to have Edgar come in and say, no matter how bad it is, you have to soldier on, blind dad.
Mm-hmm. It's intense.
Very intense.
The very touching act 4, followed by a very bleak act 5.
It also would have been, the ending would have also been unexpected, because all the versions of King Lear up to that point, Cordelia survives, and she lives for many, many years after Lear, and then eventually she dies, and a new family sort of takes over the legacy. And that might be what Kent means when he says, is this the promised end? Like, are we going to get the happy ending that we want? Right after King Lear shows up with his daughter in his arms, and then you find out that she's dead, and everyone else is dead. And
jeez.
Yeah. I think this is a crossover play. I think this one was started writing it before Elizabeth died, and then so maybe part of it might be about, you know, changing legacies and dynasties.
Oh, that's an interesting. It was written right around the same time as Cymbeline, which is another post, like post Christian, or no, post Roman, pre Christian.
Yeah, that kind of in between.
It's a weird, space. Also really interesting play. Yeah. Well, thank you for those of you who stuck around for all five acts and enjoyed and enriched your lives by doing so. Because that's what happens when you go through these things. Is your life, do you feel more enriched? You're a little gloomy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a little gloomy.
All your characters are dead and you're responsible for most of them.
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of meditate on that ending.
It's a lot of weight to have on your shoulder.
Yes.
But you came out all right.
Yeah, I did okay. You know?
You did okay. Yeah. Join us next time when we go into the speeches of King Lear. Please, like Eric Jean said, leave us a comment as to what speech you like the best. Doesn't have to be how we read it. Could be someone else. That's really crazy, that knocking. It's driving me crazy. I think I gotta go. I think we gotta go.
Yeah.
Doody-doo.
Tom's a cold. Oh, you gotta give us one more.
Yeah.
Tom's a cold. Very nice. For the five brawlers here, Jack Konorska, who did the music, Lee McRae, who did the artwork, and all of the beautiful Sonneteers voices who you've heard throughout, including Zoe. You were one of them.
I was.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We thank you, and we will be back with you shortly.
See you next time.
Sonnet 18. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lease hath all too short a date. Sometimes too hot the eye of heaven shines, and often is his gold complexion dimmed, and every fair from fair sometime declines, by chance or nature's changing course untrimmed. But thy eternal summer shall not fade, nor lose possession of that fair thou owest. Nor shall death brag, thou wand rest in his shade, when internal lines to time thou growest. So long as men can breathe, or eyes can see, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee.